Today on Real Radio.
And you are miserable, yet the thought of God never escapes your mind. And you are unhappy. I love the fact that you're unhappy. May you continue to be unhappy. Why? Because you're far from your Father. You need to come back to your Father. You need to come back to your Heavenly Father. He's waiting for you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his topical series called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? Pastor Jack's giving a lesson about how God the Holy Spirit works in the life of the believer. And when you think of His work within us, it's tempting to automatically think of the mystical, the supernatural, you know what I mean? But regarding the Spirit's various works within us, among the greatest of those works is that of wisdom, divine wisdom, that comes only from understanding the mind of God, His Word, and His will for our lives. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing his mini-series in a message called The Holy Spirit at Work in You.
But how do we get this wisdom? Well, you get wisdom just like you get everything else. You ask your dad for it. You ask your Heavenly Father for it. In James chapter 1, verse 5, listen to this. James 1, 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. What a great verse. Hey, yeah, you have any young kids? Put that in their room. You know, write it on their forehead or something. Stamp it on them. But did you hear the qualifier? The qualifier is very convicting in James 1:5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, ask of God. Can I indict all of us tonight? We all lack wisdom. But why do we ask? That's why the if is right there in the Bible. Does not God know our hearts? Jack, you need wisdom. If you ask, I'll give it to you. We need to ask. So, how do we know if we have the wisdom of God working in our lives? We will make God-based decisions. We will not be led by our emotions. Oh, I've got to do this right now. Why? I don't know. I just have to. I feel like I should. Oh, I should marry him. Why? I feel like I should. Oh, I should marry her. Why? I feel like I should. Oh, don't do that. Buy, sell, this or that, turn left, turn right, based upon how we feel. That's how we got messed up in the first place. And the wisdom of God can galvanize us against being led by our emotions. Emotions are great if they're under control. And so we get wisdom by asking. And the fruit of wisdom is the right choices. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, famous verse in the Bible. Joshua 24, 15 there, Joshua says to the children of Israel, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers or, he goes on to say, the God of Israel. Choose. That's a wise decision, to choose God, to choose life, to back up and to slow down. It's a wise thing to do. Next, we move on to this, that he is God, the transforming spirit. The transforming spirit. He doesn't transform. He's the transformer. I love this about the Holy Spirit. Listen, all of us in this church, you guys are serious about Bible study. The worst thing in the world for a Christian to experience is to say, for example, I've been a Christian for 30 years, and yet spiritually they're still sucking on their thumb. Or they're still walking around with their diapers sounds, you know, of Christian babyhood. Or if it doesn't go their way, they throw their Bible down and they're crying in the corner in the fetal position. And you say, well, you've been a Christian how long? I've been a Christian 30 years. Well, what you want to be able to say is, I've got 30 years experience at being a Christian. Some Christians have been Christians for 5 years with 40 years experience. You say, well, I want to be that kind of Christian. So do I. I've been a Christian for over 30 years. I want to pray and ask God, Lord, please let me have 30 plus years of experience as a Christian. But the worst thing in the world is to be a Christian for 30 years and have 1 year of experience. You never graduate. And yet the Holy Spirit, he's all excited. He wants to move on. He's the transforming spirit. The salvation of a man or woman is based upon the work of Jesus Christ at the cross. But the sanctification of that believer is entrusted to the work of the Holy Spirit. And he does that by transforming us. That's why we have trials. I know none of us sign up for that. But you know, have we ever prayed, oh God, I want to grow. I want to grow deeper with you. And God says, really? That's great. Come on then. Where are we going? Right through that blender. We're going to go through that gauntlet right there. See that river? Let's go. Really, God? Yep. I want to quote this verse again. John 14:16. Listen carefully. John 14:16-18. Jesus said, just before he went back up into heaven, he told the disciples, I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper. By the way, that is the declaration of the Trinity. Jesus is praying. He's going back to the Father, and he's going to ask the Father to send to us the Paracletos, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, listen, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Jesus ended in verse 18, which is a radical declaration that the fact that even though Christ is enthroned in heaven above, that he dwells in our hearts via the Holy Spirit. Think of that. He says in verse 18, I will not leave you orphaned. I will come to you. Isn't that radical? Watch my hands. Jesus says to them, I'm going to the Father. And the Father, he'll send the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, I will not leave you orphaned. I will be with you. You see that incredible divine circuit? We're Christians tonight. What an awesome thing that is. The Bible's very clear. In Romans 12, verse 2, we read it, it's our theme verse. In Romans 12, 2, the Bible says, do not be conformed to this world. That word conformed means to be pressed into the mold of this world. The Bible says don't do that. You know, we're funny people because we look and we say, maybe we're watching a baseball game or a football game or watching, and then a commercial comes on. And we were completely fine. And then the commercial comes on. We start drooling. And we all of a sudden, we were never in a market before for whatever, a pickup truck or a Cadillac. As I get older, I'm thinking, I need a Cadillac anyway. What is with that? When you get older, you start gravitating toward a Cadillac in Palm Springs. You know? But anyway. We were doing fine until we saw that ad, and then we start thinking, I need that. You don't need it, but you saw it, and now you want it. And the danger in this world is to conform us to what it wants. It's got an image for us to be conformed to. The world wants, that is, the worldly system wants us to be completely dependent upon the world. Listen, it is not a good thing to be dependent upon anything or anyone other than God first. I know we have family, and I understand the normal side of that. I'm talking about when it comes to life itself, God first. But when we begin to think that, oh, all of these others give me life, us together sustain one another, listen, don't ever remove God from the factor. We are being conformed to the image of this world. We'll get in trouble this way. We're the ones that will save the planet. We're the ones that will make a utopia. And it's so sad. We are so far removed from history now that those are the words and verbiage that Adolf Hitler used, and people got all excited about a coming utopia. And now we hear all about that in our day and age around the world, that we need a utopia. We need a perfect world. Wait a minute. The Bible tells us not to be conformed to this world. He goes on in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. He says, but be transformed, recreated by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, that's the wisdom of God, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. transforming. The Holy Spirit changes us. He will not let us alone. Are you a Christian tonight? Are you a Christian today and you've wandered far from God? Isn't it amazing? How do you know you're a Christian? Are you miserable? Yes. Hallelujah. Wherever you're at right now, if you're here, are you listening? Are you watching? Are you miserable and you know that you're a Christian? You're not. You haven't gone to church. You haven't worshiped. You haven't blessed the Lord in your devotions to Him. In fact, you're living in a life that you ought not to be living like, and you are miserable, yet the thought of God never escapes your mind. And you are unhappy. I love the fact that you're unhappy. May you continue to be unhappy. Why? Because you're far from your Father. You need to come back to your Father. You need to come back to your Heavenly Father. He's waiting for you. And you need to come home to Him. He wants to do that. He wants to meet you. Isn't that the picture of the prodigal son? He ran back home, and the father saw him coming, and the father opened up the door of his house and picked up. Listen, you don't do that in that Middle Eastern culture. The old man, the dad, picked up his robe, and they would tie it about mid-length of in their thigh, and an older man was to never do that. That was a disgrace in that culture. That man picked up that robe and began to run to his wayward son that was coming home. You think that old man cared about custom and protocol? He could care less. His boy was coming home. And maybe right now you're far from God, and God is saying, come home. Come on. You know why that's going on in your life? That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He wants to get back to work on you. Remember that day years ago maybe when you said, Lord, come into my life? Guess what? He took you seriously. And He's not going to settle any longer. You thought you could invite Him into your life and only have Him in a couple of rooms of your spiritual house of your life. Oh no. He either takes all the rooms or He brings in a bulldozer and just outright levels the house. But He loves you so much, yeah, He will never let you alone. That, what a great thing that is. You know, don't do this literally, but please don't take me literally. If you were to run out of this building right now and go sin up a storm, now you can't do that as a believer. You can't go plan a sin. But if you were to go do that, God would be maybe silent, maybe quiet. But let me tell you something. In due time, well, for all, those of us who are boys or men, Dad would always take us out to the woodshed. We knew we were in trouble when my mom would say, I called your dad. Wait till he gets home. That was bad news. That ruined our day. The Holy Spirit will not give up on you if you're a child of God. He's going to transform you. 1 John 3:23 says, and this is His commandment. We must believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He commanded us. Isn't that beautiful? Those who obey God's commands live in fellowship with Him and He with them. And we know He lives in us because the Holy Spirit lives in us. 1 John 3:24. Isn't that great? Okay, I'm going to give you three really cool words. Are you ready? Write them down. It's going to be good. When we talk about the Holy Spirit transforming us, there are three factors that we need to understand regarding the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray to the Father, and the Father will send the Spirit of God. Okay, number one, it's this, the para of God, the para, P-A-R-A, parakletos, for example, the Holy Spirit comforter, para, alongside you. You've heard this before, but a parachute, a chute is obvious. A para is alongside you. A parachute is alongside you to save your life. Jesus spoke to the people in parables. Bolas in Greek is to cast, para, alongside. Para, Jesus would cast truth, cast the story, cast the word alongside somebody's head, just like a fisherman. Bloop, the hook and the bobber lands right alongside that fish's mouth. Parabolos, to cast, a parable. And the whole thing is that the fish is to take the hook and then the fisherman reels it in. Jesus throws out the truth of God in a parable And anyone listening will say, that's true. I want that. Take the hook, and God reels you in right into his heart. The para of God. John 16, 8. Jesus says concerning the Holy Spirit's work, the para, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Jesus says the alongside working of the Holy Spirit is to convict people of sin. Listen, who does not know that tonight? We all know what that's like. Have you ever done anything wrong? Have you ever thought anything wrong? You don't have to do anything wrong. Just think it. And that voice inside says, what are you doing? You ought not to be thinking like that. You see this ever so sweet in the heart of the young. Lisa and I have two kids. It's all that we can handle is two kids. And Rebecca, our oldest, and I don't know how this works out. How many of you have two kids or more? You have two kids or more? Wow. Isn't it amazing? They come from the same place, and they're so different. I don't get it. Except for God. Our firstborn, I could look at her and just give her a look. I could just look at her and go, and she would look at me when she did something wrong. She would start crying, I'm so sorry, Daddy. Man, she was easy to instruct and discipline. So easy. You just look at her. And then the second one comes along, and we're thinking, well, we got this down. This is easy. Here comes number two. Number two comes out, and everything's different. You knew something was up when the baby came out and the doctor spanks the baby to get her to catch some air, and the doctor goes, boom, and the kid just goes. And no matter how much I looked at the second one, like, this displeasure of father's heart is wounded, she just kind of went and took me on. But every person, no matter how tender they are or how firm they are, there is a point in their heart, especially in the young, when they commit that sin or they know they've done that wrong thing and they are so convicted. They ought not to have done that. The danger is living your life without Jesus Christ and getting into ages where you begin to justify everything and you've never been wrong about anything. And you don't need to tell anybody you're sorry. And you are something. And your heart becomes hardened and calloused and you become a legend in your own mind. Nobody can tell you anything because you're it. And God has been speaking and speaking all your life, but then there comes a time when you don't listen to him anymore. What is happening? That is the Parakletos, the Holy Spirit, alongside your life. He's alongside your life, and he's whispering, you need Jesus. You need to think thoughts about Christ. What about death? Where will you go when you die? On what basis are you looking for forgiveness? What will God say? You ever hear those voices in your head? I heard those voices in my head all my life until that day that Christ came into my life. And then there were voices of comfort and of peace and of acceptance. Boy, I tell you tonight, if you do not sense acceptance by the true one that counts, then you're not living life yet. I don't care how old you are, you haven't started yet. My mom found peace 4 weeks before she died and went to see Jesus. All her life she lived without, she had religion, but she didn't have Christ personally. And 4 weeks before she died, she had accepted Christ. How do I know? Because you know what? You could not get a Bible out of her hand. For 4 weeks she was reading her Bible, asking questions. I remember when this church was brand new, real young, and I would be here on a Sunday, then Sunday afternoon, fly to Phoenix to be with her. She was getting sick, didn't know why. And that sickness, by the way, that sickness and that pain led her to make a decision for Christ. It was only after that she found out that she had 4 weeks to live. And I tell you, those 4 weeks of my mom knowing Jesus personally trumped the 64 years earlier that she had religion but no relationship with God. Big difference. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And then it's this word. in. The in of God, spelled E-N in Greek. That's the word indwelling. There's not only the Holy Spirit coming alongside the non-believer to witness to them, to bring them to Christ, but there's secondly the indwelling work of the Holy Spirit. Some have called it the sealing, with an S, to seal or to emboss, to mark. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. Ephesians 1:11 says, in him, listen everybody, in him also we have obtained an inheritance. This gets kind of deep, so I want you to put your thinking cap on. Being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. In other words, Father knows best. Verse 12, that he who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, here it is, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So what does that mean? If you have given your heart to Christ, then the Holy Spirit, watch me everybody, the Holy Spirit who lived outside, the moment you said, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and to come into my life. I want to follow you, Jesus. I believe you died and rose again from the dead. I want to follow Christ. The moment that happens, the Holy Spirit goes like this. Now, inside. He comes inside you. That's what that word means. And the moment that happens, your life is changed. And, listen, you are sealed until the day of redemption. Stamped, embossed, marked. The word is amazing because by Roman law, which this was written at Roman time, based upon Roman law, the word that is used here is once an article is sealed by the Roman Empire with the leather straps across it. Let's say you're going to ship a box and you wrap it back 2,000 years ago with a leather strap. You heat up wax, you drip it over the knot, and you stamp it with your signet ring, for example, according to Roman law, anybody who breaks that seal dies. That's the word that's used here for you. The Holy Spirit says, okay, scoot over. I'm coming inside you. Here I am. Okay, I'm going to go to work in your life. Puts on an apron, pulls out his tools, and he starts reworking the house of your soul. And the Bible says that seal can't be broken. I love that. If you guys were listening, you would have said, amen. That's good news. We need to hear that. That's the Holy Spirit indwelling you. He will never leave you. The Bible says, I will never leave you or forsake you. The Holy Spirit cannot leave the life of a true believer. You say, well, Pastor, I knew somebody who was a believer and they went nuts and back into the world and they... How do you know they were a true believer?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson that takes a look at what Scripture really says about the Holy Spirit at work in you. In fact, that's the title of this series within a series, The Holy Spirit at Work in You. It's part of Pastor Jack's collection of studies called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. By the way, I want to remind you about Pastor Jack's midweek study that airs every Wednesday night live on hischannel.com, 7:30 p.m. West Coast time. You know, we've got a few programs on hischannel.com. His channel is where you can watch Journey with Jack Hibbs, which airs different times during the week, Real Life with Jack Hibbs that airs every Monday night at 7 West Coast time, and Pastor Jack's midweek study live on Wednesday nights at 7:30. Those are all West Coast times. In fact, we have a link to his channel at our own realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.